Catholic vitamins, vitamin S, surrender, or is it submission?
Surrender.
With guest Denise Bossert, episode 78.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi, Deacon Tom and Dee. This is Mark Angus. I'm calling about Father Larry C.D. I'd like to be entered into the drawing. I'm one of your friends on Facebook, and I've been listening to the vitamins for a real long time, probably since the first round. And love listening to you also on Lisa Hendy's marvelous podcast. Blessings.
Well, thank you, Mark Angus, for requesting the Father Larry CD on confession. And Dee, because of Lent coming soon and our last show on reconciliation, we have a couple copies of Father Larry Richards, a wonderful homilist, teacher, priest, and all-around great guy and author. He did the talk on confession. It's been a great CD, and we have two copies of that, which we got from Lighthouse Catholic Media. And Mark was the first one to respond and request that. Have you put his name?
I've got his name in the bin.
All right. So for another week, we're offering another CD, well, a second CD. And all you have to do is just send in your name to us at catholicvitamins@gmail.com or call the now famous 206-350-3789 and just say Father Larry CD, and we'll put your information into a basket, one of Dee's baskets. I was just going to say
that I wanted to thank Mark for calling in and telling us that he's been listening almost from the beginning. Has it been two years?
It's coming up.
That I'm still amazed at the people we hear from who tell us they've been listening since the early days.
And we also have received word in several different ways about people that are new to Catholic Vitamins, or they've stumbled onto us, or somebody recommended it. I've been working, as you know, Dee, on an interview for an upcoming show with another Catholic singer and composer. And she said that a friend of hers had told her about Catholic Vitamins and said that it was a good show. So thank you for any and all who listen to us and recommend us to others. We appreciate your companionship on the faith walk and journey. Dear, my allergies have been driving me crazy.
You are sniffling a lot.
I really, really am. They say juniper.
That's what I keep hearing, yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. And when we lived at 7,500 feet in Estes Park, Colorado, I never had any of this. And I thought they had juniper up there. I should go back and take a look at that. Mm-hmm. But, gosh, they've really been bothering me this week. And, you know, I'm doping myself up. I told the priest at the parish that I felt like I was in a fog. And he said, well, that's sort of what happens with antihistamines. They may dry your nose up, but they leave me a little bit groggy. Do I sound okay for doing a podcast?
You sound fairly okay, yes.
Great. What a great endorsement. I think I'll erase this segment.
You sound okay.
What do you got?
Oh, I just was going to throw in that we had a short little message from Gabriella in Corpus Christi. We hadn't heard from her in quite a while. And she was sending in her guests for our reconciliation. That was correct. Unfortunately, she came in kind of late.
Oh, a week late.
We had already done the podcast and had already picked the winner. So, Gabriella, yeah. I'm sorry, but I'm so glad you're still listening, though.
There was a song originally done by Louis Armstrong. This has got to be, 50 years ago, called...
Oh, we're dating ourselves again.
No, I just read about it. It's not like I know. it was called Oops, I Did It Again. And then there was a little more modern version of it by a somewhat famous singer who I'm not going to talk about. But oops, I did it again. I sort of gave bad clues on the Catholic vitamin for this show.
You did.
I was thinking surrender, and I said submission, and I think I put out a false clue. So I'm sorry about that. It just happens that D is getting old and isn't correct.
This is the second time we've done something like this in a couple months. I think our senility is starting to...
We need to have an impartial panel who helps us keep track of our records.
Well, anytime we mess up like this, if somebody guesses the other
we'll
honor it.
Yeah. So keep sending your guesses in for the upcoming Catholic vitamin. A little later in the show, Dee will give you the clues for the next show. And we've already said that this show is on surrender. You're listening to Deacon Tom and Dee, and we're so proud and pleased to have you on our faith journey on Catholic Vitamins. Wonderful music is from our friend Deacon Chuck Stevens up in Canada. It's been quite a while since we've talked with him, but he's given us permission to use his music, and maybe we can get him on as a guest on the show sometime. Next up on Catholic Vitamins, our dear friend Cheryl Deco has a vitamin based on her Our Jewish Roots book and her early years of formation around the Jewish people. It's been such a blessing to have Cheryl on our show, and I'm sort of sorry to announce to folks that she's taken on some new pursuits and new opportunities in her life, and Cheryl will make this her concluding Our Jewish Roots Catholic Vitamin participation for now. We have extended an olive branch for her to come back when she gets time, maybe time away from the other pursuits that she's doing, and we're working to find a new participant on Catholic Vitamins, and we think we've just reached agreement with somebody to come in, and we'll tell you about that very soon. But for now, we're really blessed and pleased to bring you Cheryl Deco.
Greetings, this is Cheryl Deco, author of Our Jewish Roots, joining you with a Jewish Roots perspective on the letter S. For S, I selected the word sin. And I know it's a topic that maybe we don't always like to talk about, but I really wanted to look at the Jewish understanding of sin and talk about the Catholic way that we address that. So the Jewish understanding of sin is missing the mark, not living up to your potential as a person created in the image and likeness of God. Leviticus in the Torah is the book in which the Jewish people are given their daily laws, their dietary laws, and ultimately are told in Leviticus that they are to be sacred as God is sacred. For Catholics, then, this message is reiterated in 1 Peter, which states, or actually just reminds us, really, and it's where it says, "For it is written, be holy because I am holy." Most of us are very familiar with those words. So if we look at the Jewish understanding of sin as missing the mark, then we understand that our aim, our daily aim, as we are told in Peter, is for holiness. And so sin is when we miss that mark. So sometimes maybe we feel that understanding holiness is a little bit more complex than it really is. I think that if we remember the two great commandments, we really are able to wrap our minds around what it means to be holy, because those direct us completely towards holiness. And I think that that helps us get our sights a little bit clearer on our daily journey towards holiness, although typically most of us fall short of that or we miss that mark. But this is why Catholics really have a great understanding that every day is a new opportunity to live for God, to give glory to God, to aim for that mark of holiness. We have graces from God in pursuit of our holiness, and we have, as Catholics, sacraments. These are meant for us on our journey as we strive towards holiness. So my prayer for you this week is that you have a blessed week and that you have a holy week and that you hit the mark more than miss it.
To be in Israel, a shining name.
May you be like Ruth and like Esther. May you be deserving of praise.
Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is a new lady in our life, our lives. New to me, that is. In some email that I sent to her ahead of time, I said, Denise, I previously met a Catholic singer, a composer named Danielle Rose, and we had her on the show, and my overwhelming feeling after having spent time getting to know her by emails back and forth beforehand, and then as I did some investigation work about Danielle, was that I just felt like I was sadness that I hadn't met her earlier in my faith journey. And in the short time that I've had to begin to do a little work to get to know you, I'm getting the same feeling. So let me introduce Danielle Bossert to the listeners to Catholic Vitamins. And Denise, I welcome you to our show.
Well, thank you for having me. This is wonderful. It's always a joy to share the faith. So it's good to be here.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, every audience will bring with it people who are at different stages in their faith walk, and some may not be on the internet as much as others. They may have read your writings. We'll come to that in a while. They may have read your writings, but not remembered your name. So why don't we start fresh in this and tell us about your beginning years, your early faith walk, and about young Denise.
Okay. Well, I'm the daughter of a Protestant minister, and so my faith journey really begins with my parents, which is so often the case, I think, with preachers' kids. We're called PKs as we're growing up. And my father was a Wesleyan minister until I was in middle school. And so what I received from those years, Wesleyan comes out of the Methodist tradition. For those who don't know anything or have never heard of Wesleyan denomination, they're very strong in holiness and a high emphasis on personal sanctification. And I remember in those early years seeing people on their knees praying. It wasn't, you know, like we see in the Catholic Church, you come in and you pray throughout the Mass, and then in adoration people come in and pray also. It was pretty much limited to prayer meetings, but I was impressed by seeing grown-ups on their knees praying, and then that came back to me many years later in a hunger to want to, you know, have that restored to me. But it was those early years of holiness and sanctification and just prayer, intense prayer. And when I was in middle school, through events in our family life, my grandfather passed away, and my dad stepped away from ministry for a while to help my grandmother with the farm, because Grandpa had been a farmer. And during that time, there were two Presbyterian churches that were without a pastor, and they started asking my dad to fill the pulpit during, you know, this interim period where they didn't have anyone. And that's how my father became a Presbyterian minister. And he went back to seminary, and he got a seminary degree. And in that denomination, I learned the Apostles' Creed, and I learned the Lord's Prayer, because Presbyterians were somewhat sacramental and certainly more in touch with the early church. And so I was given this wonderful breadth of gems, you know, that each of those denominations had taken from the Catholic Church, but was not complete and full in either one of them. But what I saw that was beautiful in each of those, I regained when I became Catholic and received the fullness of the faith. So it was a wonderful childhood full of, you know, receiving these things, and I certainly kind of saw them in isolation, and I missed. When I became Presbyterian, I missed, you know, the pursuit of holiness, and I thought it was missing. But I didn't understand that there was a place where all these beautiful things were together, and that I would eventually recognize that it was in the Catholic Church.
Let me do a sidebar with you for just a moment.
Okay.
Two quick inserts. One is I'm just at the very end of reading Let the Fire Fall, which is Father Michael Scanlon's book about his years at Franciscan University and and having taken it over when it was pretty much widely recognized as a party school and not very Catholic. And towards the end of the book, he talks about how much work he did in the area of ecumenism and working with people of other faith. And a lot of the stereotypes that he had, the negative images that he had of people of other faiths was set aside when they prayed together and when they actually had a penitential service in which they sought the forgiveness of people of other faith for the wrong that they had, that Catholics had caused, and then other Protestant denominations, of course, had preached against Catholics that we weren't saved and that we weren't really Christian.
Right.
And it was just beautiful to read that witness, and your witness this morning about your early years tells us that, you know, we could draw closer to our Protestant brothers and sisters if we would let that happen in our hearts.
There are certainly, I think the thing that, you know, I sometimes feel like the daughter of divorced parents to some degree, because I'm not, and my parents were never divorced, but certainly because I grew up in Protestantism, and I'm fully joyful to be Catholic, and I would love to see full restoration of the body of Christ, no more division. So that sense of being, you know, the kid where I see the side that's Protestant, that's what I grew up in. And now I am completely in love with being Catholic and our Catholic faith. And there is an ache, a hunger to see, you know, to see it come together. And I think one of the greatest things to build that bridge both ways is to recognize that Protestant denominations have each in isolation retained some of what is good and beautiful that is found in its fullness in the Catholic faith. I have cousins, for example, who are Assembly of God. And you can't go to some denominations and be charismatic because they believe it's, you know, it's awful, it's terrible, it's not of God. So there's like an exclusion between denominations. But what I realize is, you know, and then Quakers, my grandmother had a grandmother who was a Quaker minister, and they're very contemplative. All of these beautiful gems come together in fullness and perfection in the Catholic Church. And I think if both sides would begin to realize that what is good and true and beautiful is found in its fullness in Mother Church, you know, that would build a bridge.
Well, our Catholic vitamin today is vitamin S for surrender, and we're going to move into that area in a moment. But already you've helped us to consider surrendering some of the negativism, some of the prejudices that we've had in our earlier years, and which aren't exclusive to Catholics at all, by the way, to try to find ways to work with, to pray with, and to love our separated brothers and sisters. Well, we left off in this, and you were talking about your middle school years. Could we just do a brief thing about your teen years and then perhaps going on to college?
Well, in my early years as a Wesleyan, I fell in love with Jesus Christ, and I did the, you know, the evangelical prayer, Jesus come in, be the Lord of my life. And in my teen years, I still had a deep love for Jesus, but as it happens to so many teens, it became very difficult to continue to strive to please Christ. So in my teen years, I struggled with that. It was difficult. I still wanted to please him, but yet there was a sadness because I knew I was failing, really, to do that fully. And it was also difficult my senior year. My father took a new pastorate, and I had to move just before my senior year of high school to a new high school 5 hours away. And I went through a year of just anger and bitterness towards my parents for, you know, what have you done to me and what have you put me through? And that kind of set the stage for some really bad choices in those early years. So I would say, you know, the further along I went in high school, the more dicey things got, because I was not being true to, you know, my desire to please Christ and to be pleasing to Him.
Okay. You went off to college, did you?
Well, part of what I did was just after my senior year, 1 month after my 18th birthday, I got married. And we had three children. It was a non-sacramental marriage and difficult from the beginning. So when our oldest daughter was 6 months old, I went to college. So it was not the typical progression straight from high school into college. And by grace of God, I somehow managed to complete that bachelor's degree with an English major and a Spanish minor. But it did, you know, I entered a non-sacramental marriage, and from the beginning, that lack of marital grace was so obvious. And again, difficult. It set me up for some really difficult times.
Mm. Well, gosh, there's so much we could get into just in this part of your story, but I'm trying to move us towards the point at which, how did you feel about Catholicism during this period of your life?
This is interesting, because my first, what I would consider adult job, you know, as a professional, was as a teacher in my minor, which was Spanish. And praise God, He came along with a position teaching in a Catholic school. I taught in Dyersville, Iowa, which is where the Field of Dreams movie was filmed.
Oh, yes, yes.
In fact, I taught there the year the movie came out. So Dyersville was just aglow with this, you know, they were so excited about being, you know, the center of this movie. And that's when I entered their community and became a teacher at Beckman High School. And I entered it with, you know, just being thankful I had a job, I had a teaching position. And but in the course of my time there, our Lord took away my bias against things Catholic and gave me an appreciation. I certainly wasn't ready to convert, but it was little moments, for example, in the faculty lunchroom. Brother Roger was sitting to my left, and I said, Brother Roger, what are you doing in the Mass? I said, there's a gesture you do I don't understand. And he asked me where in the Mass it was, and then he realized that it was the gesture right before the Gospel reading. And he said, well, you know, this is the pinnacle moment of the Liturgy of the Word, and we stand, we sing the Alleluia, and we make a cross on our forehead to say, Lord, may the story of your life, death, resurrection, ascension remain in my mind, and we make a cross on our lips, may it be quick to share with others, and we make a cross on our heart, may it burn with a holy zeal in our heart. And I sat there and I was silent, because I had asked the question, convinced that Catholics had rituals that were just meaningless, that they were just going through the motions and it didn't have depth. And I was taken down to size and humbled, and I almost, you know, cried, because I realized that in this, even it was just one gesture, one question I had asked and had an answer to, that I realized there is something so deep and so beautiful that I had not known. What else is it that I'm missing? And so during those 2 years at Beckman High School, I went from bias against the Catholic Church and what I saw as rituals, meaningless gestures, to appreciation, and I recognized there's something good here. But it was more of a choice among many choices rather than the fullness of the faith. But I think that was certainly a season of grace, you know, that God brought me to Beckman at that time.
Well, one of the songs that tears my heartstrings from time to time, I get verklempt, if I may use a sort of commercial word, at Amazing Grace. And for God's beautiful invitation to bring you into a Catholic high school. is just a delight. And it's sort of at the edge of vitamin S, surrender.
It is.
We Americans don't like the word surrender.
No.
And yet, if you watch the Coming Home program on television, mm-hmm. Some of the most beautiful surrenders ever experienced, sort of like St. Augustine and right. And Paul, although his was a little more dramatic. Tell us, if you will, about the surrender that began in your life.
Okay. A number of years after I taught at Beckman, I'm trying to think, probably 15 to 18 years later, my father, the minister, was very ill and he passed away. And I went through a season of questioning what is the full understanding of the theology of suffering. I didn't question God. I knew God was not broken. But my confusion indicated to me, as I thought about it, that there must be a gap in my understanding of this of the purpose of suffering. So I went on a search for answers, which was certainly a surrender to you, Lord, to show me what I think is missing, because something isn't fitting. I'm not complete here. And I started by going through my father's personal library, which I inherited. And in the bottom of one of those books, it's interesting that you you reference St. Augustine, because many Protestants have a deep love and affection for St. Augustine, and evidently my father did, because in one of his boxes of books was a book by St. Augustine, Confessions. And I wouldn't have read it because it still looked very old and it had an icon on the front, and it looked certainly very Catholic, so I must have still had some bias against Catholic saints at least. But because it was in my father's personal library, it was sacred to me. And so I opened that book and I read it, and my bias against Catholic saints just fell away. And within a couple months, our Lord brought St. John of the Cross, Dark Night of the Soul, to me. English is my major, so God was reaching me through my love of reading. And when I read Dark Night of the Soul by St. John of the Cross, I understood. And this is really hard, but because it's so powerful, that changed me, because it filled me up and it restored to me, or gave to me, you know, the full understanding of a suffering Lord that has not abandoned the one who is suffering, but he's there. In the dark night, the night is just so dark that you don't see that he's sitting closer to you than he's ever been before. And after that, I went to St. Teresa of Avila, because I discovered that, you know, they were spiritual companions. And I thought, well, if, you know, St. John of the Cross would help me understand Dad, maybe St. Teresa of Avila would have something for me. And I put down Interior Castle, and this was certainly a moment of surrender. I was reading this beautiful book, and I put it down beside me, and I looked at it, and I thought, I want what these Carmelite saints had. I want their faith. I want that spirituality. And the very next thought I had was, whoa, but to have what they had, I would have to call home the faith home they called home, which is the Catholic Church. And it was in that moment where there was, Lord, I'll follow you, you know. And that's what it takes to have what I'm hungering for and what I see in them. I will follow you. And so I didn't know where to turn, and I knew my father had a friend on the ministerial board in town, which, again, ecumenism, you know, coming up to show how we can restore those breaches. I remember him saying that he had high respect for Father Larry, and I found Father Larry. He had moved on to a new pastorate, and I called him, and I told him about this journey I was on that I didn't even really understand, but I felt drawn to the Catholic Church in you know, I figured he would be stunned, shocked, you know, in great joy, you know. And he was. But the greatest thing that he said was, Denise, you need to go, and you need to pick up your Bible, and you need to read John 6, and you need to ask yourself if you can take our Lord at his word, because if you can, your journey will keep going. And if you cannot, your journey will end right here. And what he was saying is surrender. ask yourself if you can surrender to the Holy Spirit speaking to you as you read this. And after I got off the phone with him, I went to my Bible and I read John 6 and I said, okay, Lord, you know, show me if I can take you at your word, if what you're saying is really, truly that you, it's your body and your blood and the Eucharist and Holy Communion in the Catholic Church and not a symbol, which is what I've always understood it to be. And it was an amazing moment of surrender. And the doors are open wide, and I think really we all are on conversion journeys, and there are many of these moments when we give our yes, you know, like Our Lady did, or we give our no, and if we give our yes, the door to the next part of the journey opens up, and if we give our no, it stops, and if we stop saying yes, we even go backwards. But it was, that brought me into RCIA. The ultimate difficult surrender of my entire life was in December of that year when my RCIA leader covered the Immaculate Conception, and I almost ran for the hills. I could not receive it, and I would not receive it, and I wrestled with it, and I said, but Sean, that was our leader's name, and I said, Sean, can I still become Catholic? I believe in the papacy. I believe that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist. I believe in all these things, but this, that can I just not believe in that part? And he laid out scripture, and I was in such a stuck place because this was the one obstacle my father could not overcome. And I'd inherited that sort of, you know, blindness that I cannot see that. I cannot see that. And so finally Sean said, well, if you cannot, after truly trying, place a petition before Our Lady to show you. And again, it was a surrender. I came home, I placed a petition before Our Lady to show me that I can surrender to the truth of the Immaculate Conception, but ultimately, can I surrender to the teaching of the Church that she is gifted with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is in her and speaks through her. And that truly is the ultimate question. In that petition, and the petition was answered exactly within 24 hours. And it was a petition, I know that we don't really have time to go into it, but I'd asked for communication, and someone I saw on the journey home 7 months earlier wrote me a letter that was in my mailbox the very next day. She dated that letter December the 8th and had handwritten above the date, Feast of the Immaculate Conception.
Wow.
Yeah, and when I opened that letter, it was like St. Thomas, and the fear and the doubt just completely went out of me. And since that moment, I have this beautiful understanding and I wonder, how did I ever not know that she is the Immaculate Conception? But with it also came the confidence. I know that I know that I know I'm standing on terra firma and that it is good and not scary to say, I surrender all to Jesus Christ and to His Church. It was just a beautiful miracle, amazing. A mother with the most impeccable timing. And it made my journey complete because then I pushed forward and no looking back at that point.
Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is Denise Bossert, and we're going to jump into what she's been doing since she completely surrendered to the invitation of Jesus and His mother. Denise, I have in my left hand my copy, my own personal copy of St. Augustine Confessions.
Mm-hmm.
And I just opened up, no particular reason for this page, and one of the thousand highlighted areas in the book, come, O Lord, and stir our hearts. Call us back to yourself. Kindle your fire at us and carry us away. Let us scent your fragrance and taste your sweetness. Let us love you and hasten to your side. What a beautiful invitation to surrender. And it was apparently that book that started your final surrender, which you've so beautifully described. And I know we've only covered a part of this. You were on the Coming Home program yourself, were you?
I was. January 10th, 2011, I was a guest on the Journey Home. And it was a wonderful time of my whole journey coming full circle, because it was in those early days of being on the journey that I would just soak up Journey. I watched Journey. I still watch it every week. But it certainly helped me to connect the dots between where I was and where God was leading me. And so it was a joy to be on the program.
One of the regular contributors to our program each week is Peggy Bowes. She's mm-hmm. the author of the book, the Rosary Workout Book.
And right. I saw her on there, too, not very long ago.
Yeah, yeah. And she it contributes every week to Catholic Vitamins. And I asked her, what was it like to be with Marcus on mm-hmm. the show? And she said that it was a wonderful experience. I guess you would say the same.
Oh, definitely. It just, the joy that I sensed in knowing, see, of course, I have this deep love for Protestant ministers, you know, my father being a Protestant minister in two different denominations, and what he has done to build that bridge, to help Protestant ministers to put the pieces together and follow really in along the trail that he has made for them is amazing, and it was a tremendous honor to be with him, knowing what he's done to really help, you know, Protestant ministers, especially in their families, you know, on a broader scope, to make that journey that's so difficult for them.
We Catholics who are cradle Catholics, not yourself, but we cradle Catholics, don't understand what some Protestant ministers or their families will have to go through if they surrender to the call to become Catholic. And Marcus and his organization have done a great deal to try to help them as much as they can. We're going to have to surrender to the clock. I promised you that I would try to keep this to a certain amount of time. Can you let our listeners to Catholic Vitamins know where they can find you and what kind of work you're doing?
Sure. I do write for diocesan newspapers. 43 have taken the column at one time or another, but only about 5 take it every month or quite regularly. I'm on Twitter and Facebook as well, but the one place I can always go to is I have a blog. It's called catholicbygrace.blogspot.com, and really that became a spillover of what to do because, you know, God's grace cannot be contained in one 800-word column that goes out once a month. So what do I do with the rest of this? And it's a spillover of what to do with that, and they can see my story in really bits and pieces on the blog.
Wonderful. We will try to put in that web address that you just gave and your Facebook and Twitter location so that people can go to our blog page, which is usually oriented to each show that we do, and can find links to find you and perhaps get in touch with you. Are you available for speaking and other engagements?
I am. Praise God, I'm going back to Beckman High School in March, and I'm going to get to speak at the school I taught at so many years ago.
Oh, my heavens.
But yes, I'm traveling to other parishes, and it is such a great joy to share the story and offer that back to God. He has been so good to me, and it is a great privilege.
As we come to our close, I have another highlighted couple sentences, I guess, from St. Augustine. May I read them?
Sure.
For when large numbers of people share their joy in common, the happiness of each is greater, because each adds fuel to the other's flame. Moreover, when converts are well known, their example guides many others to salvation. Denise, I just pray and will pray for your work and your ministry and for your willingness to surrender. Any final words for our listeners?
There's one thing, you know, as I was preparing for today, you know, Lord, you know, what is it? You know, as I connect the dots, and I've connected to the dots, and our Lord gave me a song that I remember from childhood. It's from the evangelical hymn book, and it's "All to Jesus I Surrender, All to Him I Freely Give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live." And when I thought about the song that our Lord reminded me from my child, this is it. It was a surrender. And what I received from that is I live in his presence, in his Eucharist, the real presence, the true presence, every day. And so it is beautiful. Surrendering is not something to be afraid of, not something to resist. It yields the greatest gift. And for me, that has been the Eucharist.
Praise God. Denise Bossert, I thank you for the joy that you have filled our hearts with as you've shared part of your journey story. And I invite our listeners to connect with your blog and your other new media connections. And know that we will keep you in our prayers, and I would ask the same of you.
Thank you. You have my prayers as well.
Hi, I'm Peggy Bowes, author of The Rosary Workout. For today's Fitness for Faith segment, I'd like to talk about vitamin S, signal graces. The Blessed Mother has made 15 promises to those who are devoted to the Rosary, and the first one reads, "Whoever shall faithfully serve me by the recitation of the Rosary shall receive signal graces." When I first heard that term, I was mystified. What is a signal grace? I did some research and discovered that signal graces are signs that give us answers or let us know that we are on the right path. I began to be open to these signal graces and found them everywhere. They were little things that I might have normally dismissed as mere coincidences, but now saw as signs from heaven. If you are dedicated to the Rosary, do not ignore any coincidences when it comes to spiritual matters. I was talking to my dad recently, and I happened to mention the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Surprised, he said, "You are the third person to bring that up this week. I had never heard of it before, but I guess I'd better start praying it." That was definitely a signal grace from my dad. As I often say, please find 20 minutes every day to pray the Rosary, if possible while you're exercising or out for a walk. Signal graces are just one of the many blessings and benefits you'll receive. God bless.
Well, thank you, dear Peggy, for educating us about signal graces. You know, that is something that I've heard about in years past, and it's sort of gotten away from me. So it's good to hear the reminder. And we've had some signal graces with regard to Catholic Vitamins, visits from people that we might not normally be in contact with, but who've agreed to come on the show, sort of helping us to understand that what we're doing is a work of the Lord. Praise God, we hope. And I've had some signal graces in my ministry area as well. So thank you, Peggy. And we're so glad that you're continuing with us on Catholic Vitamins. Next up is our strong proponent for a new evangelization, Justin Stroh. And we are so glad to have him on board Catholic Vitamins.
Welcome to this new evangelization. This is Catholic musician and speaker Justin Stroh. Jesus said that we would not know the day nor the hour, that only the Father knows. So Jesus himself doesn't even know the hour. Why is this? I think it's because Jesus is the revelation of the divine mercy of the Father. And in a way, his eyes are blinded to the justice until the day of justice arrives, when all will be made new. His justice only has meaning within his mercy. That's why at 3 o'clock every day, when that clock strikes, we need to immerse ourselves, if only but for a moment, into the divine, merciful heart of Jesus Christ. Let's entrust to him this new evangelization every day at 3 o'clock. Let's not be afraid to pray bold intentions that God asks us to make. Here we are at the beginning of Lent. Ash Wednesday is upon us. This is a clarion call to the entire church to pick up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow Jesus Christ. We all know the statistics. Sure, 30% of Catholics go to Mass every Sunday, maybe 50% Christmas and Easter. What about the other 50%? It is not sufficient enough to think that people will come to the divine mercy of Jesus unless we proclaim the good news of his mercy. The foundation are the deeds of mercy. And so, praise be Jesus Christ for those that live the deeds of mercy. Yet, if we do not speak and say out loud what it is he calls us to do, to live, then how will people know? Good people are starving for the Eucharist because we remain silent. What will you do about that this Lent? This is the one area where the Lord does not want any silence. He wants us to speak out and proclaim His mercy, to tell the world about His inconceivable mercy. Every day at 3 o'clock, I'm going to be entrusting this intention to Jesus, that He will wake up the souls that are listening to this little segment in the world today to rise up and to bring those 70% of Catholics back to the Mass. The time is now. The place is the Mass. I've released a new video in anticipation of the great explosion of grace. On Divine Mercy Sunday, John Paul II will be beatified, and I believe that the miracle of his canonization will be connected to the hastening of this new evangelization that we've talked about here. This new evangelization has been dogged by various evils, but now these evils must yield, and millions of souls be saved by Divine Mercy. Let's all be a part of it. Check out the video at justinstrove.webs.com and let us know what you think. God bless you.
I can't help but get pumped up, more pumped up about the Catholic faith and about new evangelization every time I listen to Justin Strove. I'm so glad, so very glad that he's with us every week. It's like another vitamin in our faith walk, huh?
We can use more vitamins.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Justin. And I want to once again say goodbye, thank you, and love to Cheryl Deco for the past, what was it, maybe a year that she's been with us and more. And we wish her Godspeed in the next segment of her faith walk. All right, dear, do you have something? I've got a couple other things here, but I wanted to let you come in. Oh, let me just do this. I've got a new column over on Catholic Family Podcast. It's on Lenten themes for your home. Kind of an unusual twist on the idea of doing a few things for Lent. So if you get a chance, go over to David and Allison's wonderful website where they invite me sort of as the chaplain for the Catholic Family Podcast to do a column once a month. And I've just posted one there. Dear?
Hey, you know how we always are asking for people to let us know if they have prayer requests?
Yes,
because
yes.
We like to have everybody, have our whole listening audience praying for special needs. So
we believe in prayer warrior.
Exactly. And Joe Sales has asked us to pray for his grandmother.
Okay. May God be with her and help her in healing.
Do you know that, I'm sorry, I'm rattling papers here. Do you know what you always used to say and tease me because I couldn't remember to say it right about the sweet treat?
Yes, dear, yes. One of many, but go ahead, go ahead.
Well, go ahead, say it.
No, come on, come on.
That our Catholic vitamin sweet treat is a sweet gift.
No, no, there you go.
See, well, I haven't done it in a long time.
I know, I know. Well, we gave it up because we couldn't get it right. Our faith is a sweet treat from God.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, what do you got?
Well, Joe Marino, who we picked as our winner for vitamin R last week.
Yes.
He wrote back in and he says, I am so excited and can't wait for my sweet treat. You know, lately I've been acknowledging my adult children's baptism with a card and a sweet treat telling them that their faith is a sweet treat from God.
Oh.
Isn't that sweet?
That's very nice.
Sweet. That's
yeah,
sweet.
It was a treat to hear from them. There we go. All right. I want to thank Denise Bossert once again for being our guest. She is everywhere, folks, on the internet. She's on Facebook and Twitter, and she has YouTube videos that she's done as part of her participation in various work that she's done on the internet. And she sent an email which says, Dear Deacon Tom, it was a joy to spend some time with you today. She did this after I recorded our interview. You've become a part of my spiritual family, and I will indeed be praying for you. I'm praying for your work, that God will bless many through it, and may they be inspired to pick up the banner of the cross and share the good news of Jesus Christ with all people. And she says, in closing, all for the glory of God, all for the Lord of life. Blessings, Denise Bossert. You are definitely in our heart, and we lift you in prayer, Denise.
Yeah.
All right. We played a little bit of some music by Deacon Chuck Stevens, and it's a great meditation on the beautiful words about Jesus. And we think it's a great meditation. Maybe I hope you're not driving, but as we end the show, I'm going to play the full 9-minute version of this. And if you're able to close your eyes and just listen to this and meditate on Jesus and his Sacred Heart and on the divine mercy of God, that'll be awesome.
I was just thinking about him the other day.
Were
ironically,
you?
Yes. Yeah. I was going through some of the songs on my iPod and came across one of his.
Oh, all right.
Timely. Well, should we go into Vita Scrabble?
Yes. Uh-huh. Did we do this?
Vita Scrabble, we have a winner.
Oh, you've pulled one already.
I pulled it already.
Okay.
And it's a new listener, at least new to us. He says he's been listening for a long time, but we've never heard from him before. So, Joe
Geisbauer. Geisbauer, yes.
Yes, it's Surrender.
And I sent him a question asking who he was.
And he said, I've been listening to your podcast for quite some time now. Unfortunately, I was playing catch up on some of the old episodes. I'm finally caught up, and I'm so excited to try my first bite of Scrabble. Well, it worked, boy. He said, I believe the next vitamin will be Surrender. He's a 26-year-old graduate student working towards his PhD in mathematics. He tells us that because he says that he's noticed our audience is a very diverse group.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a testament to both of you that you can touch such a broad audience.
I think we ought to put him in the will. What do you think?
I do. Anybody that says these nice words just deserves a spot. Our kids are really getting pushed out, aren't they? Anyhow, he ends up by saying, your show has brought me so much joy and enlightenment to my life. Keep up the good work and keep challenging me. Thanks, Joe.
The only thing that Joe might reasonably ask is there any room in the will or is there anything going to be left? And both of those are subject to discussion. So what's the next Catholic vitamin?
Vita Scrabble for next time. Vitamin T ends in K.
Oh, that's unusual.
8 letters.
T ends in K.
Eight letters. Send your guests to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. Or call our feedback line, 206-350-3789, and just say your guess.
I might tell you one time, we ought to do a show on outtakes, Dee, because I remember one time you went to give the clue on Vita Scrabble, and you just said what the vitamin was.
I did.
Gosh.
We do have some laughs behind the scenes, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. All right, do you have a Vitaminute?
I have a Vitaminute. Are we ready to close?
I think we're ready to close.
All right. My Vitaminute guess is coming from guess where?
Catherine Doherty.
And her little meditation calendar. But this one goes right along with the season of Lent, which we are just about to head into. This Lent should be the time to ask and answer one question. What has my life contributed to the immense spiritual battle being waged across the world today?
Yeah, I preached about this very issue not too long ago, dear. You may remember the Sunday homily that I did about us being in Mass 50 minutes a week and whatever the other math is, 1,300 and some minutes in the rest of the week, and we're out in the world that is seeking to destroy everything they've heard in the 50 minutes. So
right, and you said you met with the youth group last Sunday evening. And you sort of went over the same thing with them, didn't you?
I did a little bit. Speaking of that, as soon as we finish this podcast and a little other work related to Catholic Vitamins, I'm going to be going over to give a test to our confirmation candidates. And the test will be on the Mass, but it'll just be a way of sort of reviewing what we covered. So I think we need to wrap up.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone. Bless you. You're in our prayers. This is Deacon Tom.
And D.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.